Thank you. Well, he did come for help. You sign up for two more times, didn't you? Not just one. It's a blessing indeed to be here with you. Good morning to you, those of you who don't know me. Actually, I don't really have an identity, I find, in the Independent Baptist circles. I normally get introduced as the father of those ones that sing, the Malari family, or the fellow that replaced Pastor Ernie Vesely. So my name is Manny. But I'm glad to be here. Thank you, seriously, Westside Baptist Church, for your willingness to host and serve us all. It's been great thus far. I said to Brother Chris Eccles this morning, it's not just the willingness, but the enthusiasm of the church and the folks. And it's really seen out there. They're just a blessing. And may the Lord bless your church even more for stepping up in faith to host the meetings this year. Like I said, I think I remember it's another two more terms. So it comes in threes. But anyway, we can argue about that later on. Thanks also for the preachers. My head and heart is blessed, comfort and challenged, of course. And that's the reason why I like going to these NBF meetings. And I pray that it would indeed continue. The messages were just comforting, challenging. Thanks for the feeding for the soul. So to all of you, I pray that in some small way, of course, God will also use me to somehow encourage you this morning to add some more feeding for the soul, for the ones that we've already heard. See, Brother Eccles is brave in inviting me to speak. Half of the time I have troubles with my words and my syllables. So if you can't understand my accent, just pretend that you do. Okay, and we'll be fine. I remember asking him, Brother Chris, what will be the theme for the NBF? And in the early planning stages, of course, and he said, more than conquerors. And he shared how he believes that the theme is timely, it's relevant. I couldn't agree more. I'm certainly thankful that the leadership has decided to actually put on a theme of more than conquerors in these hard times. Because indeed, it's a reminder. It's a reminder for me that I have got so much more going on with me because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's true of me and it's true of each and every one of us. And that nothing, we've been hearing it, nothing can separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ. Romans 8 and our theme text was and is a declaration, a statement of fact, a statement of confidence. To conquer is to subdue, to surmount, to defeat, to triumph over. And to be more than a conqueror is like the roosters. The roosters dominating over the storms. 21-6. I can't believe I said that. I'm Victorian and we're in Melbourne. Who cares about NRL anyway? I'm just a sore loser, thank you. But seriously, to conquer has the idea of victory. Victory in battle. Not just victory, but great. Great victory. In one of my readings, it is described as the conqueror placing his foot over the neck of the captive. What a description that is. But in spite of this declaration from the Apostle Paul, Many a Christian have lived a defeated life, and not a victorious one, sadly. As we have heard, we have a guarantee. These days, guarantee is not much of a guarantee, amen? But here we have a divine guarantee of the love of Christ, and because of that love, we are in the here and in the now, in the present. We are more than conquerors. And yet you talk to a brother or a sister and you say, "How are you, brother?" And he'll say, "Oh, good, brother, considering the circumstances." Folks, we are to live above the circumstances of life. We are to conquer it. We are to triumph over it, not because of us, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can conquer it anyway. You see, during the times of the revivalists, we know of Ira Sankey, the song leader of D.L. Moody. On his evangelistic meetings, of course, Charles Alexander, the music minister and support to R.A. Torrey, right here in the Melbourne revival of 1902. And then let's not forget Daniel Nash, prayer warrior to Charles Finney, and many others we could name about. During Bible times, we know of Eliezer, that faithful servant to Abraham. Aaron, the spokesperson for Moses. And later on, Joshua, who is the commander-in-chief, so to speak, of Moses, who became his battle commander and successor to Moses. We read of Elijah, that faithful disciple, the one that followed Elijah wherever he went and ultimately became his successor. When we consider King David, we learn of his mighty men. Depending on who you read, this warrior group numbered a total of about 30, 32, 37, a valiant men whose names are found in 2 Samuel 23 and 1 Chronicles 11. The first three are the generals, if you like. And it's this second one of these mighty three, Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, is who I'd like us to ponder on this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. In the Old Covenant, 2 Samuel 23, if you're able, would you stand with me, please? 2 Samuel chapter 23. Beginning in verse 8, 2 Samuel chapter 23. The Bible, God's Word, inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved for us, says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only the spoil." Shall we pray? Oh, our dear God, once again I come before you, in front of all these people. Father, I'm not to deliver some product launch or a training program. Father, I'm about to declare your word. Help me to give it justice. Help me to preach it well. Help me to preach it accurately. And what I save on this platform, Father, that you would use for your honor and for your glory. Oh, dear God, I pray that I would not rely on human strength, but Father, on you who is able. So, Father, in these next few minutes, we commit our time to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning is not the time for me to discuss or debate on you the many thoughts and the many persuasions about David's, or better said, the Lord's mighty man. But the first point I want to make this morning, if we are to be more than conquerors, is individual responsibility. Individual responsibility. As we look at this fellow called Eleazar in this Bible, I'd like to help us to have a practical example of how it is to be more than a conqueror. And that starts, I believe, with us acknowledging our individual responsibility. You see, beloved, battles are fought and won by the collective effort of many. Every single soldier has a part to play. From the military strategist, to the field generals, to the commanders, to the snipers, to the foot soldiers, to the air bombers and pilots, to the specialist teams, the medics, the cooks, the radio man, the drivers and the armory personnel, everyone has got an individual responsibility. Everyone had been trained for a specific task, and everyone's life is dependent on how each other perform their ordered tasks. When the mission is approved and the command is given, everyone is expected to follow and man their battle stations. They review and confirm their roles. The plan of attack is executed with great precision. Why? Why? In order for the mission to be successful and not be compromised. Here in our text, we find Eleazar fully engaged in a battle against the Philistines. Perhaps he just finished killing one of the enemies. Perhaps on his knees, just taking a quick gasp of air, preparing himself perhaps for the next hand and sword combat. And he just quickly turned to his left and to his right, and then a quick glance behind him, and he could see the Israelites running. Running not towards the enemies, but running away from the Philistines. Our text says that the men of Israel were gone away, verse 9. Beloved, they were withdrawing from the battle, abandoning the fight. They're leaving their posts. They're retreating. They're giving up the fight. Eleazar at that point had to make a choice. What would he do? Look at the text. The Bible said he arose and smote. The word smote here has the idea of attacking. So he arose and attacked. He went on the offensive, beloved. He ran forward. While everyone else was retreating, Eleazar ran towards the Philistines, hacking and slicing everyone who comes in his way. No doubt. That morning, every man went to the battlefield. They would have been given an instruction or a command. A command to face up to the Philistines and engage them in the battle. And in that command and in that charge, if you like, there is an expectation that every soldier will fulfill his part. But during the heat of the battle, sadly, not all of them fulfilled their commission. In fact, as the text suggests, many, if not most of them, withdrew from the battle. Folks, we have been given a commission, but no other than the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28 tells us that we are to go into all nations, into the world, and teach the gospel to every creature. 1 Corinthians 16 tells us what we are to watch. We are to stand fast in the faith. We are to be men and be strong. 2 Timothy 2 tells us to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Jude tells us to contend for the faith. These are, and many more, are our standing orders, beloved. These are our charge. These are our mission, our purpose after salvation, if you like. Every single one of us is responsible. You see, there are no proxies here. What we do and how we become good stewards of what we were given, the talents, the abilities, the influence that we have, they are to be brought before the Savior, aren't they not? I have my own responsibilities as a father, as a husband, as a minister of God. You've got yours. But every single one of us has a responsibility. Individual. We belong to our own family of faith. That's true. Yes, we belong to a particular group of friends and fellowship. Yes, we belong to the body of believers in our local churches. Great to hear that. Yes, we belong to the great and grand body of genuine believers across the globe. And it's great and wonderful to be working side by side, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the idea, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, Brother Suresh just challenged us with that last Sunday. We have one Lord, we have one faith, and we have one baptism. Psalm 133, verse 1 declares to us how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. But folks, let me warn you, sometime, somewhere, someone will abandon their place or places of ministry. Sometime, somewhere, someone will walk away from the fellowship. Sometime, somewhere, someone will give up the fight. But beloved, don't you quit on God. We should be conquerors. We should be more than conquerors. For Jesus Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. Others will retreat, no doubt. Others will give up. But, oh, beloved, by God's grace and help and mercy, stick to our posts. Arise and smite the Philistines of our day. They are plenty. If everyone around you seems to be faltering, seems to be walking away from the faith, seems to be giving up the fight, be prepared to stand. Be prepared to stand alone even. Be an Eleazar. of our day. Individual responsibility. Verse 10 of our text. Eleazar arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. Second point I want to make again, if we are to be more than conquerors, is individual resolve. Individual resolve. But what does it mean first to be weary in this context? It means to be exhausted in strength. We've heard plenty of that over the last few days in fellowships out there and preaching. It means exhausted in vigor or freshness. Eleazar, no doubt, was exhausted. His hand was weary. His muscles have contracted from all those fighting. Can you imagine wielding that metal sword? They didn't have lightsabers during those times, you see. I'm afraid Hollywood sometimes picture the sword combat like child's play or like a dance. You know, they have the little steps. It's nothing like that. It's wearisome. If you know a little bit about warfare during Bible times, if you've been to Brother Kev's manners and customs, you'd understand what I'm about to say here. Aside from the metal sword, they would be wearing a metal helmet. They would be wearing a metal armor and would be strapped with a metal shield on their other arm. They would be wearing a special kind of shoes or sandals. I'm already exhausted just thinking about it. I haven't been put it on yet, let alone face the enemy yet. I'm just reading it and thinking. You see, every soldier on that day of battle against the Philistines had an individual responsibility. A responsibility to fight, to carry on, to get the job done. But I wonder if every soldier did actually have that steely resolve within them. Within their head and within their heart to fight till the end. If I'm to judge it on the text, obviously not. Battles are meant to be fought with combined resources, not one. There is only so much that Eleazar can do. What can one Eleazar do among so many Philistines? But did you notice Eleazar arose? He didn't complain. He didn't criticize. He didn't condemn. He resolved within himself, by God's grace and by God's help, I'm going to step up with God on my side. I'm with the best of company. I don't have time for critics. I need no cowards. I need no complainers. God help me. I will not have a condemning spirit even. I will not leave my post. I will get the job done. I will fight to the end. Amen. He stood up. He gripped his sword so hard. In fact, the Bible described it that his hand clave to it. Look at it. That means his hand is literally stuck to it. Now, whether he gripped it so hard and for so long that his hand literally cannot be opened, or whether so much enemy's blood is in that blood became like a paste that glued his hand into that sword, eternity will tell. He was exhausted. He was weary. But praise God, he acknowledged he had a responsibility. And more than that, he was resolved within himself He will keep on keeping on. He will not be weary in well-doing. He will fight the good fight of faith. He will finish the course. He will look unto Jehovah, who promised to never leave him nor forsake him. He would have proclaimed it within his inner soul that this battle is the Lord's. And just like David, he will not let some uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God of Israel. Amen. That's what he did. Resolve. Individual resolve. I believe Eleazar was more than a conqueror, in that he acknowledged and delivered on his individual responsibility. He backed that up by his individual resolve. And then thirdly, we'll be brief, you'll be surprised. Thirdly, as I close, I want us to look at the inclusive rewards. I like this. Inclusive rewards of victory. Let's look back at the text, verse 10. It says here, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. In the end, beloved, God gets the glory. He always does. Will always do. And deserving of the glory. A great victory is the description there. A conquering victory. You see, when the Eleazars realized their individual responsibilities and have their individual resolve, that solid resolutions within to keep on, to fight the battles of faith, in the end, God gives us great victory. And God is glorified. And the reproach of the nation and its people is removed. You know, beloved, this is a reminder to me. Maybe because I'm just so anxious about this opportunity and this privilege to speak with you. I always wake up early, but this morning I woke up earlier. And in this place that we have rented, there's a little mirror. It's behind on that desk. I was looking at myself in that little mirror. And I confess to you, I'm standing before you, I know my responsibilities. But I wonder if I have the steely resolve of Eleazar. I knew I was going to speak about being more than a conqueror. And I have to look into the mirror. Many, have you got that resolve? With all the things that go on, the things that are upon your shoulders and the responsibility and the care of the churches and its people. I need to make a choice. Do I rise and smote the Philistines of my day? Or I run away from the enemy? But with all of us realizing our responsibilities and that genuine solid resolutions within us, in the end God gives a great victory. A reminder, we see all around it. Look at all the collaterals. It's in the screen, it's in your bags, it's in your hymn books, It says, more than conquerors. We've been singing about it. What a lovely time of singing about being a conqueror. We've been hearing about it. How many preachers have already said about being a conqueror? But I wonder, do we actually believe it? Oh, it's easy to say. But do we believe? Nay, in all these things. Do we? See, it's hard to preach it when you're not fully persuaded that you believe what you're saying. It's very hard. I can dazzle you with all outlines here and this, that, and the other, but if I don't believe what I'm saying, it's no good to me, it's no good to you. Do we believe what we're reading up here? We are more than conquerors. They're not just there for decorations, I'm sure. The preachers didn't spend months thinking about what to say. The hymns were, from what I can see, have been planned and orchestrated to steer our hearts for it. Do we believe it? But just before we finish, it will be remiss of me not to make mention of the end of verse 10. The people return after him only to spoil. The Bible says, those perhaps that run away, those that retreated, those that abandoned their post, they what? Return after him only to do what? To spoil. That means to plunder, to gather the spoils of war, so to speak. Now we can read these and have a smug attitude about it. Something like, now they came when it's all over, when there's no more threat, when the job is done, and now they came because there is something for them to take? Where were they when things were tough? Where were they when things were hard? And you know, knowing me and what I'm capable of, I'll be one of those mugs. I'll be having a bitter attitude, a negative attitude about it. I'll say, I'm sure, I'll give them their due spray. Where were you, mate? I needed you. You're nowhere to be found. Now when things are okay, you're here, strutting yourself. That's many. He can easily do that. You see, there was no record here of Eleazar ever doing that. Not even a hint. Not even a hint. Here's what I learned and continuously learning. Many times in the ministry, some of the brethren, not all of them, praise God, some of the brethren just don't have it in them to face the enemy as yet. Maybe later, but not as yet. Either they have not been taught, they have not been discipled, they have not been exercised in their faith, or they have not developed the courage, or quite plainly, simply, they have issues, or having issues. Put it plainly, beloved, they haven't grown and matured in their faith. But here's the thing. Could it be, just maybe, that by us being an Eleazar would encourage them to step up and return to the battlefield? Would it be worth it? Amen to that. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen to that. The Israelites returned to the battlefield. Sure, they partook of the spoils of war that they didn't labor or fought for. Now, I know it's hard. We're all flesh and blood after all. But we should try not to begrudge them of that. You know why? Because whose was the battle to begin with? It was the Lord's. How do you think Eleazar survived the oncoming enemies one after the other? Who did give him the strength to fight? Where did he get it to continue on? When everyone was deserting him, who do you think stayed on with him? The Lord. It was the Lord who wrought the great victory. It's really not Eleazar. It's really not the mighty man. It was the Lord. That's what we've been hearing. Conquerors through Christ. So if we are to be conquerors for Christ, it is by the realization of our responsibility, our individual resolve, and because of Christ, and without Him, the Bible says we can do nothing. He, the one who loved us, that's in the past tense. Did you notice that? The Bible says He first loved us. That's the only way we can love Him back. I keep on telling myself these days, you know, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. But here's the thing. I need to be fair to Eleazar, yeah? Who do you think got the most blessing out of this? The ones who retreated? The ones who left their posts? No. He had the greatest blessing. Eleazar can go back into camp with his head up high, not because he was proud, but because he did what he had to do. He stayed on his post. He finished the job. He fought the good fight, like the Apostle Paul said. And in the end, there was victory. Great and inclusive. Not just individual, but a collective victory for all. Are you an Eleazar? I pray that we all are. But could there be that some of us have been Eleazars, but we got weary. We saw people retreating and we followed them. We can't be a conqueror if we're retreating. Is it time, beloved, to go back to the battlefield and stand with Eleazar? Or better yet, to stand with God? Do you want it? Do you really have that resolve within you to fight the battle of faith? Or are we going to say, I'm all right, brother? You're not all right. I understand there are challenges in the ministry. I've only been it very, very recently, and I'm already seeing it. But if we are to be Eleazar, if you want to be an Eleazar, if you want to smite the Philistines of our day, perhaps talk to your pastor about it. Maybe get some accountabilities done. Have your confessions with your pastor, and pastor, help me to be what I ought to be for the Lord. Don't say, I'll deal with that later. Do it today. Do it today. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, thank you indeed for the word, a precious word. I pray now that you would help us not just to be hearers of it, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.